All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you as live as it can be from the last show from the East Coast on this trip. Yes, indeed, I'm getting ready to head back to Honolulu on tonight's show. Facebook tracking users? Yes, Facebook tracking is users it considers a threat. AI writing fake news quite convincingly. Amazon dropped the bombshell on New York today. And what's coming from Apple? I want to welcome you to episode 1347 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, February 14th. Happy Valentine's Day. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Support of this show can be done by going to GeekNewsCentral.com/Insider. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Of course, all of the longtime listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed. And for those of you who are brand new, make sure you visit GeekNewsCentral.com. Get subscribed to the show when you're over there. It's real simple. Apple Podcast, on Android, Spotify, TuneIn, really, subscribe on Android. Multiple ways to subscribe to the show. All you got to do is visit the website. There's options for you on the right-hand column of the website. While you're there, get signed up for the newsletter as well. That way you can get all the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. That comes via email, obviously. And really contains everything that is in the blog post as well. So since you're here, I got a great show for you lined up tonight. And, you know, if you have an option, you can also go over to blueberry.com, listen to the show over there. You can listen on your smart home device. If you have a Alexa device or a Google Home or one of those devices, you can use the keyword to launch that device and say, play the podcast, Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat or our Slack channel, which actually we have a little commentary coming from our Slack channel tonight. We'll talk about that. If you want to join the Slack channel, all you got to do is email me, geeknews@gmail.com or on Twitter at geeknews. You can follow me on Facebook as well. Of course, partner shows, they're all linked at Geek News Central, include the GNC Week in Review, the Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear Site, the New Media Show, and of course, the Podcast Legend Show. And all those shows are linked on the website. You can actually subscribe to them as well on Geek News Central directly or go to the main website of the primary shows. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/OhanaStory. Come a true geek of the show by picking up a t-shirt or a hoodie or a hat. There's plenty of options over there at cafepress.com/OhanaStore. This show is supported by our good friends at GoDaddy. They are the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast in the podcast space. They've sponsored this show since June of 2005. And GoDaddy has lots of great offers, and I have breaking news on the GoDaddy offer. $1 economy hosting and $1 managed WordPress hosting is back. So yes, $1 a month. I don't know what happened to the $249 deal. Maybe people weren't reacting as well on that. But $1 a month is back. They sent me the email on Tuesday and I was like, yes. So for $12, you get a year's worth of economy hosting and or managed WordPress hosting and a free domain that's worth $8.49. So you guys can do the math, right? Simple. It's simple. For $3.50, because you get $8.49 value in a .com, for $3.50, You get a website for a year. This is simple. This is a simple deal. Simple deal. You can't go wrong. If you're in the shower, driving to work, sit in the cube, on a service call, working with a customer, in Walmart, doesn't matter. If you have an idea where you're like, whoa, that'd be cool to put a website up on, because we all have them. And it's those fleeting moments where you have to say, am I going to do something with this? Or I'm going to sit out and let someone else capture this idea. So for $3.50, you can have your epiphany turn into something very, very cool. And I know that I've often been in the shower. Matter of fact, I heard someone say the other day they thought up some jingle for the No Agenda show in the shower. They got out mid-shower and wrote the jingle down. So that's fan dedication. But anyway, 99cent.com's 30% off discount codes. Even got the website builder with a 1 month free trial. All those deals are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. That's the place to go to start saving today. All right. And if you're not in for, you know, again, as I tell you many times, if you're not up for a domain name or a website, or you don't need an online product, well, maybe consider doing a podcast. But otherwise, if you have friends, family members, people that you know, you know, the dude named Ben at work, wherever it may be, you need to make sure that you share my codes with your friends and family. Doing that and having them use one of my codes is just like making a donation to the show. All right, it's like just the same as writing a cash check. All right, so definitely share my codes, link to my website. It's greatly appreciated. Again, geeknewscentral.com / GoDaddy. All right, so it is official. I acquiesced to my lovely wife, and I arrive home Saturday at 2:30 in the afternoon. I go home and wash half a suitcase of clothes, sleep, and have to be back at the airport at 10 a.m. Sunday morning, and we leave for Sydney, the 11-hour flight to Sydney, arrive Monday evening in Sydney, obviously probably go get some food, go to the hotel, and then Tuesday all day and Wednesday all day, tour Sydney, do whatever she's got planned, and then have to be back at the airport at like 8 p.m. Wednesday night, and 11 hours back. So I kind of did the math. I'm like, my God, this is insane. And we could stay longer, but she doesn't have coverage work-wise on Thursday or Friday. There were seats coming back available. And I said, well, why don't we just stay longer? We're going, right? And she's like, I can't. I got to be back to work. So that's the plan here. So we'll have two full days in Sydney, and yeah, it's gonna be nuts, but it's okay. So no show on Monday. Monday's President's Day. It's a holiday for some of you federal workers, maybe contractors too. Maybe it's a floater for you, or maybe you just don't even get the day off. You have to go to work, but no show on Monday. I'll be back with you in some stage of jet lag on Thursday. I'm sure it's going to be an entertaining show, for sure. So a week from today, I'll be back with you video if everything in the studio turns on. We've been cold iron in the studio in Hawaii since like the 20th of December. So almost 2 months. Actually, I think it'll be 2 months cold iron. So it'll be a miracle if everything turns up and works the first go-round, but that's where I have my fingers crossed. No one's really been in there messing with anything, but anyway, so we're off to Sydney, and I told her, just, I'm busy here, you get the hotel, and she's like, what's my budget for the hotel, and I'm like, why? And I did a quick look online, and ooh, yeah, this short-term planning. I'm like, hey, there's Airbnbs. There's, you know, we don't have to stay five-star. We're just going to be there 2 days. We just need a place to sleep, you know, a couple of nights. And so anyway, we'll see it. And I'll be sleeping in the airplane. So got my visa. Visa's approved, ready to go. All right, so let me go ahead and get into the content tonight. Hey, I want to thank all of you for being here. One thing I did want to mention is that Darren, he's one of our Ohana members that's in the Slack channel. He said, hey, Todd, in GNC 1346, you mentioned Pushbullet. He said, I've been using Pushbullet for like 5 years now. I have it installed on all my Windows computers, Android phones, and tablets and Chromebooks. I use it for two reasons: SMS from the desktop and universal copy and paste. I was using Mighty Text prior to Pushbullet, but switched to Pushbullet when the company I work for blocked the app. He says, it's always interesting that companies act like they've invented stuff like this when other companies have been doing it for years. Kirk weighed in on the chat and he said, hey, I must admit I was a big fan of Pushbullet a few years ago when I was working with my daughter's local PTA and I was a union rep. I would constantly get texts from both the PTA and union members, and the best part of Pushbullet, you can set up groups. So I was able to load my PTA members one group and then another group for union members, and it was so much easier to communicate to them. So there we go. We do have a couple of people that have used Pushbullet. So I thought I would share that with you. And you too can join the Slack channel, the Geek News Central Ohana Slack channel. I can just send me an email address. Say, Todd, I want to join. Join me to the group. I want to hang out with the cool kids. All right. So let me, one thing I'll be honest with you. I'm ready to leave the cold and my runny nose. I really am. But kind of scary. There's a first article I have for you tonight. And this is like, whoa. I don't even know this is legal. But it's being reported by CNBC that Facebook uses its apps to track users it thinks it could threaten employees in offices. So Facebook maintains a list of individuals that its security guards must be on the lookout for that is comprised of users who have made threatening statements against the company. Well, that was just the first edit I think I've had to do on the show in years. You guys heard the intro start there for a second, right? I accidentally hit the button on the stupid mixer, and it didn't have a kill button, so I had to sit through the entire intro again. All right, back to the article. But anyway, Facebook maintains a list of individuals that securities must be on lookout for, and the company's information security team is capable of tracking these individuals' whereabouts using the location data they provide through the Facebook apps and websites. More than a dozen former Facebook security employees described the company's tactics to CNBC, with several questioning the ethics of the company's practices. How can it do this? In early 2018, Facebook user made a public threat on social networking against one of the company's offices in Europe. Facebook picked up the threat, pulled the user's data, and determined he was in the same country as the office he was targeting. The company informed the authorities about the threat and directed its security officers to be on the lookout. He had made a veiled threat. He said, tomorrow everyone's going to pay, or something to that effect, a former Facebook security employee told. The incident is representative of steps that Facebook takes to keep its office execs and employees protected. But are these security measures justified? You know, the company has 2.7 billion users across the planet. And that means if only 0.01% of the users make a threat, Facebook is still dealing with 270,000 potential security risk. And if you make this list, they're tracking you. So I understand the security needs, but I would like to see the parts of the terms of service where Facebook is allowed to track you for security risk. Facebook notifies its security personnel anytime a new person is added to the list. sending a report that includes information about the person, such as their name, photo, their general location, and a short description of where of why they were added. In recent years, the security team may have had a large monitor that displays the people, displayed the faces of people on the list. I understand companies keeping lists, but I wonder if they have some tracking mechanism that if you get too close to Facebook headquarters, all of a sudden an alert is sent. You just wonder here. I'm really questioning. I guess it's allowed, right? Now, Facebook has this capability by tracking these users' whereabouts. Of course, using the Facebook app and IP address collected through the website. And Facebook says they only track these users when threats are deemed credible. And it's just a little bit surprising to me here that they can do this. So, you know, there's a lot of talk about in this article about safety, but what about privacy too? I guess you don't have any privacy with the Facebook app. In regards to privacy, U.S. government and Facebook are negotiating a record multi-billion dollar fine for the company's privacy lapse. So the FTC is looking for a big, big check. And the fine would be the largest the agency's ever imposed on a tech company, but the two sides have not yet agreed on the exact amount. Facebook has expressed concerns with the FTC demand that one of the people said if talks break down, the FTC could take the matter to court and would likely be a bruising legal fight. Facebook confirmed it is in discussion with the agencies but declined to comment further. A multi-billion dollar fine would amount to a reckoning for Facebook in the United States after a series of privacy lapses. So, lawmakers have faulted the company for mishandling that data while failing to crack down on other digital ills, including the rise of online hate speech and so forth. So we'll see. And apparently this probe began in March of last year. And again, of course, it was in response to reports about the social giant's entanglement with Cambridge Analytica, which we covered here heavily. So a multi-billion dollar fine could be coming down on Facebook. What about tracking people as they think is a threat? What do you guys think about that? I'd really love to hear from you. Geeknews@gmail.com. Making the rounds today was an article about an artificial intelligence program that could write disturbingly believable fake news. It's Elon Musk OpenAI. They're keeping a tight lid on the technology, but this OpenAI has developed a algorithm that can generate plausible-looking fake news stories on any topic using just a handful of words as a starting point. It was originally designed as a generalized language AI that could answer questions, summarize stories, and translating text, but researchers soon realized it could be used for far more sinister purposes, like pumping out disinformation in large volume. And the tech has a little rough edges currently at the moment, but they see in just a couple of years, this thing could be pretty significant if it was leaked out into space. So if Elon Musk can do this, you know, what someone that's less scrupulous, some foreign country, some foreign agent, cut something like this loose, it could cause a lot of mayhem out there. I wonder if you can get an AI to write tech books or tech instructions, or, you know, that's what I want. I get tired of having to write, you know, all kinds of interesting, you know, support documents and all that kind of stuff. That's what I need AI for. So Amazon today pulled the plug on its planned New York City headquarters. And there's two sides to this. One side is saying Amazon couldn't hack it in New York and couldn't negotiate with the big boys. And that's what politicians are saying, or at least one politician is saying. And then the Amazon is saying, hey, we had some pushback from some politicians that didn't want to work with us. And it's kind of a back and forth. But Amazon said specifically, a number of state and local politicians and made it clear that they oppose our presence and will not work with us to build the type of relationships that are required to go forward. Now, Amazon was looking for $3 billion in tax incentives. So, but at the same time, they were guaranteeing 25,000 jobs that paid over $150,000 a year. Of course, if you're going to be in New York, that's like a minimum wage you have to earn to even be able to eat and live in a 10 by 10 room. But the very dramatic politician, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, she said, anything is possible. Today was the day a group of dedicated everyday New Yorkers and their neighbors defeated Amazon's corporate greed, its worker exploitation, and the power of the richest man in the world. So I'd love to hear you guys' thought on this. I think Amazon said, they don't like us? Fine, we'll take our dollars somewhere else and go to some jurisdiction that is more welcoming of Amazon. So Northern Virginia is going to get a boost, and I'm sure that's going to affect folks in and around the Beltway, and Northern Virginia is really the Beltway area. So very interesting move by Amazon today. And you just, what do you guys, you can be of two thoughts, right? Number one, Amazon was smart. They didn't get the tax. They weren't going to get the tax break. So they said, forget it. We're out of here. Number two, people could be upset because of the potential of lost jobs. 25,000 jobs is a significant number of new jobs being brought into a community. So, and the tax revenue from that, especially at $150,000, you're looking at someone that's going to be paying probably $30,000 to $40,000, maybe $45,000 in tax. If you look at federal tax and then you look at the state of New York tax, and that person's probably more effectively making about $100,000 after taxes. So, $40,000 a year for 15,000 or 25,000 workers, that's not a small amount of change. But again, the tax incentives they were giving them was like up to $3 billion. So it is a trade-off, but Amazon's out of New York, and they're going to spread the wealth around its other distribution centers and into Northern Virginia. AirPods, iPads, and streaming. What we're going to see from Apple in March? Well, Apple's streaming services are very much rumored to be just about ready to launch. And so March 25th is the date, is the rumored date. Apple has not indicated it's planning to hold a March event, but that's the expected date. And of course, last year, Apple held its iPad event in Chicago during the week of March. But according to Bloomberg, Apple will be launching its video streaming and news services at the Apple event. Apple's invested $1 billion in producing original content for its Netflix-style streaming services, with at least 25 original, such as dramas, comedies, docuseries, and kids programming. The company has reportedly already invited a few celebrities, including Reese Witherspoon, Jennifer Aniston, Jennifer Gardner, and director J.J. Abrams to attend. Of course, we may see some AirPod, maybe a new iPad Mini, which has already kind of been confirmed. So we'll see. And of course, WWDC is typically held around June, so we'll see when that's going to be announced. So the Apple spin cycle begins again. We're in PC world. Have you guys ever heard of the Zoho Office Suite? And apparently they're tapping AI to provide a free, powerful alternative to Office 365. And I tell you something that's going on right now with me. When I respond to probably 100, maybe 150 emails a day, and I'm in Gmail. And what's amazing to me is Gmail has gotten to the point where It sometimes can guess as many as 3 or 4 words ahead. I know what I'm going to type, and I see it in my screen. I hit tab, and I jump ahead. It's getting pretty smart. Gmail is, at least for, you know, it's not to the point where I'm getting a full sentence, but I'm getting 3, 4, 5 words that it kind of sublighted to me. And if it isn't quite right, I keep typing, and all of a sudden it changes. So it's getting pretty good. It really, really is. Doesn't add punctuation yet, but that's what I have Grammarly for. But if you don't want to pay for, and of course I'm jumping around here, but apparently this Zoho, if you don't want to pay for Microsoft's AI-powered Microsoft Office, which, okay, I didn't know Microsoft Office was AI-powered, but there's Zoho and Zoho Office Suite, Zoho alternatives to Word, Excel, PowerPoint, launched today. Oh, that's interesting. And Google Keep launched today. And the updated smarter Zoho Writer 5 word processor and Zoho Sheet 5 spreadsheet. Zoho does charge $3 to what? SMB, oh, $6 per user for enterprise. Is that per month? I don't know. Anyone using Zoho? It says, as you type, Writer reads your text and tries to improve it with color-coded squigglies that apply to, say, passive construction, wordy phrases, and run-on sentences, which I have a tendency to do. Writer sums up all of those in a sidebar to the right of the text. It should go without saying Zoho, but Zoho says that all your files and text will be remain confidential and never be sold to advertisers. I'm going to have to take a look at this, but apparently it's pretty smart. So anyone tested Zoho? Love to hear from you if you have. And I don't really consider Word to be that smart. I don't see it doing anything that surprises me. Of course, I'm spending a lot of time in Google Docs too. This is an interesting article. Amazon's been caught selling counterfeits of publishers' computer books again, but not directly. Apparently what's happening is the founder of a tech how-to book publisher called No Starch Press has called on Amazon for selling what he says are counterfeit copies of his company's books, The Art of Assembly Language, copies that Amazon apparently printed. But what it came from was Amazon's what they call Create Space. So someone is uploading the book in digital format to Amazon's Create Space and selling it as their own. Amazon really has no way to, at least it appears, to know who really is the copyright holder of a book. So, you know, this guy's mad, and he should be, because this is like a $50 book, and people are underselling it and making it available in hard print, and it's not the real deal. And Amazon's been knowing about this issue for a while, and he says that Amazon doesn't police whether the book content uploaded to the Create Space actually belongs to the original author. As others who sell through Amazon discovered, Amazon has a problem with mixing legitimate and counterfeit products in fulfillment warehouses. 2 years ago, Amazon launched an effort to crack down on counterfeiting goods sold through Amazon Marketplace using a brand registry. But book pirating through Create Space has continued unabated. Such pirated titles are being sold directly by Amazon, not through third-party marketplace sellers. And earlier this month, Amazon execs admitted in the company's earnings report the company has a huge counterfeiting problem. And in many cases, people have just copied the text from other books and sold them through Amazon as their own works. So this is crazy. You know, really, really crazy. When my book went on sale, I didn't have to worry about this type of stuff. But holy cow, can you imagine doing all this work and then someone just digitally copying it and then selling it? You know, getting their free market space and pretending to be the vendor. Remember Opera, the browser? Anybody use it? Well, Opera's being upgraded, and they've showed its smart new design. It kind of looks like Firefox or Chrome. It really does. And, you know, they all copy one another. But this new Opera kind of looks like the rest. So I think we're in a situation here where the browser market is slowly collapsing upon itself, and we're just going to have all the same thing at some point. Good article on Computer World, how to use your Mac safely in public places. Do you know, do y'all know, those of you who use Mac, do you know about the firewall? Are you going, what firewall, Todd? Yes, there's a firewall. Do you know about the firewall? Well, here's the interesting thing. We all know about VPNs. We all know about using Wi-Fi. But I bet you a lot of you don't know about the firewall that's available in your Mac, where you go into System Preferences, you click on Security and Privacy, and then you tap the Firewall tab and see if it's on. And if you're traveling around with the firewall off and you're using your laptop at Starbucks, in a hotel room on Wi-Fi without using a VPN and so forth, maybe you should consider looking at that setting. There's also lots of other stuff. You know, make tough passwords, lock your computer up, enable Find My Mac, turn Bluetooth off. There's lots of things here you can do on your Mac to make it more secure. And my mom, after many, many years of being on a PC laptop, she was able to get a reconditioned iMac. My sister's, the whole family is Macs on my sister's side. And so my mom has made the jump, and she has an iMac now at in her bedroom. It's a reconditioned one that they bought. So she's going through some of the, you know, early stages of learning a new computer, learning a new operating system, and, you know, some things that she didn't want to give up, like Word and stuff like that. So I talked her through, you know, thinking about trying to maybe use Google Docs or to use some of the tools that are on the Mac itself. So we'll see. We'll see how she does on it. And I'll keep you guys advised. But she's had it now for about a week. She hasn't asked me too many questions. We had a little discussion about the, you know, the Microsoft thing. And I just said, well, you know, at this point, maybe you don't need a Word doc all the time. You don't have to spend that $100 a year. So we'll see how she does. Ajit Pai has ordered phone companies to adopt new anti-robocall tech in 2019. So he's been pressuring phone companies to implement what's called Shaken and Stir. It's a robocall blocking protocols, which performs caller ID authentication. Most major providers have committed to doing so, but he issued a warning to laggards yesterday. He says, I applaud those companies that have committed to deploying Shaken/Stir framework in 2019. The goal should be achievable for every wireless provider, interconnected voice IP operator, and telephone company, and I expect those lagging behind to make effort to catch up. He says, if it appears major carriers won't meet the deadline to get this done this year, the FCC will have to consider regulatory intervention. So, Now what it is, Stir and Shaken use digital certificates based on common public key crypto technology to ensure the calling number of a telephone call is secure. Telecom software provider TransNexus says, in simple terms, each telephone service provider obtains their digital certificate from a certificate authority who is trusted by other telephone service providers. The certificate technology enables the called party to verify that the calling number is accurate and has not been spoofed. A lot of spoofed calls. My phone rings off the hook every day. It's ridiculous. Moving on here, a study reinforces how much the internet has enabled content creators to make money. Over at TechDirt, they wrote about a study that showed how the internet and its various platforms were basically, contrary to the stories that the legacy entertainment industry keeps spreading, was enabling more content creators to make more money. That study by the Recreate Coalition just published an updated version of that study, again showing how important the internet has been enabling creative people to make money from their creations. So there's currently 4.9 million WordPress sites, 9,800 Twitch users, 24,000 sellers on eBay, 24,000 users on Shapeways, 177,000 people that are using Amazon Publishing, 928,000 folks that, on Etsy, 2 million on YouTube, 5.6 million on Instagram, 3.1 million folks on Tumblr. So lots of ways to be out there and be creative and potentially build a following and earn money. Very interesting article. So if you're a creative type, you're thinking about jumping into space, maybe give some indication where it's to go. All right, a mint copy of Super Mario Brothers have sold for $100,150 at an auction. Unopened, original Mario Brothers. I didn't know this was such a thing. I didn't know that these things were collectibles. According to Heritage Auctions, the NES game set a world record for a graded game, so it may not be outright most expensive ever, just the most expensive copy that had its condition professionally graded and certified. That outsized price tag is also a reason that the copy was bought by a group of collectors who share the ownership of the game. Although as interesting as the price is the actual game, through which it looks practically preserved in its amber form from when it was released in 1985, this particular copy is notably rare from the early test launch. So that's crazy. It really, really is. People that much money to spend on that? Wow. All right, stolen user data from MyFitnessPal and other services have hit the dark web. More than 617 million stolen accounts from 16 hacked websites are supposedly for sale. So if you use MyFitnessPal, your information is up on the marketplace. And they want $20,000 to be paid in Bitcoin for it. The seller claims that the several gigabit database contains usernames, email addresses, and passwords for accounts to a number of popular websites. Affected services include Dubsmash, MyFitnessPal, MyHeritage, ShareThis, HotLook, Animoto, IM, 8Fit, White Pages, Photolog, 500Pix, Armor Games, Bookmate, Coffee Meets Bagel, Artsy, and DataCamp. So I'm not familiar with any of these, but if you used any of those services and used a common password, get on it, folks. Get them changed out. NVIDIA, well, we just heard bad news about them recently, but apparently the company has beat expectations on the top and bottom lines after providing updated guidance last month. NVIDIA's recent inventory issues appear to have worsened sentiment in the company's supply chain, but shares of the NVIDIA rose as much as 8% on Thursday after the company reported better than expected earnings for the fourth quarter. Here are the key numbers. Earnings, 80 cents per share, excluding certain items versus 75 cents per share as expected. Revenue, $2.21 billion versus $2.2. Revenue was down 24% year over year in the quarter, which ended on January 27th. But the NVIDIA shares are up 15% since the beginning of the year. But in the past year, the stock is down. Let me read that again. NVIDIA shares are up 15% since the beginning of the year. Okay. But in the past year, the stock was down 36%. So they've had a pretty wild ride here for the beginning of this year. So here's about Amazon Moments. Apparently, this is a thing where they're making it easy for apps to give physical gift bonuses. They're saying if you stick around long enough in your favorite app, you just might have a gift arrive at your doorstep or CyberCash. A number of apps have already run pilot programs with Amazon Moments. TikTok. TikTok is a video app. If you're on Facebook, you may see TikTok. It's used a lot in Asia. You see some TikTok videos. Sony Crackle, Bell Canada, Sesame Workshop, USA Today, and the Jeff Bezos-owned Washington Times. Amazon claims that Moments made it 2 to 3 times more likely that a user completes a specific task to get a reward. So interesting. People doing stuff for companies to get a little bit of a cyber reward. Moving on here. Amazon launches its own live shopping channel. Oh, I'm sure this will be fun. Amazon.com/live is a shopping channel with a difference. When you land on the page, you'll see one stream front and center. This is the stream Amazon thinks you'll be most interested in watching. However, scroll down and you'll see other streams available to watch live. Scroll further down and you'll see streams that were recently live that are now available to watch on demand. I didn't know you... Okay, so is this... They're going directly after the television networks that are selling stuff online? So where are these streams coming from? To live stream on Amazon Live, you have to be a U.S. professional seller registered in the Amazon brand registry. If that describes you, you can download the Amazon Live Creator app or iOS to get started. Hey, Gary Leland, this is right up your alley there, my friend. I'm going to share this with my friend. He'll be doing this before the week's out. Very, very cool. All right, over at MakeUseOf.com, get a lifetime ad blocking and malware protection with AdGuard for $19.99. Any of these apps that provide you lifetime for $19.99, I always kind of wrinkle my nose. How do they sustain their business over a lifetime? How do they keep updating things? I take these things very seriously, and I just don't fully buy into the belief that I'm going to get lifetime support of a product that's going to be effective by a one-time payment of $20. I don't know how business stays in business. A new music service called Qobuzz is a high-res music streaming service, and it has four plans. $10 a month gets you 320 kilobit MP3 quality. And his four plans range from $10 a month for 320 up to $300 a year for full high-res streaming and discounts from high-res downloaded store. So anyway, I don't know how they're going to do this. Most folks are not worried about quality. There's audiophiles out there that are, and maybe they'll pay for that, but I don't know. Airbus News, Airplane News has scrapped the A380 Super Jumbo Jet as sales have slumped. Airbus has said the last deliveries of its world's largest passenger aircraft, which cost about $25 billion to develop, would be made into 2021. And this decision comes after Emirates, the largest A380 customer, cut its order. And who else ordered? I think Hawaiian Airlines ordered some Airbuses, but I don't know which model it was. But this didn't do well for them at all. And really what it's going to do is, you know, the A380 build is across, I think, like four or five countries. So definitely going to be some people affected there. In wake of Verizon flub... Of course, remember last summer, Verizon got caught in a PR storm after it throttled the wireless data connection of a California fire department. There is a new law that's going into place that would ban wireless throttling of first responders. We've talked a little bit about this already, but it's gaining some head speed here, and this could become a real deal. On the cryptocurrency side, JP Morgan has created the first U.S. bank-backed cryptocurrency. I'm not a necessarily big JP Morgan fan, but this is curious. The JPM coin is the first digital currency to be backed by a major U.S. bank. The cryptocurrency, which runs on blockchain technology, has been used successfully to move money between the bank and the client accounts. They say they see it as a potential in using digital coins to reduce risk and enable instant transfers. JP Morgan's chief executive officer, Jamie Dimon, has publicly criticized Bitcoin, but of course now they've got their own coin, so they're on board. Well, they want to control the money, folks. That's what they want to do. They want to control it. Banks are into making money and keeping their executives nice, fat, with big paychecks. So, of course, they're going to talk bad about Bitcoin and other coin offerings. And of course, blockchain is out there pretty big now, making significant inroads. You know, blockchain pretty soon will be tracking everything. But, you know, it is kind of an interesting move here. And, well, we'll see. What are you guys' thoughts on JP Morgan jumping on the BitChain or on the Bitcoin or JPM coin bandwagon? All right, here's some deals for you. 10 terabyte Western Digital external hard drive. It's $130 off. It's available now for $170 if you have a Best Buy account. It's a pretty good deal. 10 terabytes for $170. Next up, the Apple Watch Series 3 is available $199. And this is its best price yet. It's $80 off the previous model. And this is available at $199 again from Amazon. So have that link up in the show notes for you. Looking for Bluetooth for your car, that late model car that doesn't have Bluetooth? You can do it for $8. Amazon Basics Kit. Pretty simple. The President's Day deals, there's a lot of laptops going on sale. So if you're looking for a laptop, this might be the time, or maybe even a big screen TV. So a few sales right around the corner here for President's Day. I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check that out. We don't earn any money for any of these purchases. We should. Also, it is being Valentine's Day. Let me just remind you that dating apps are not all the same. Be careful out there. Online dating scams cost Americans $143 million. Okay, so be careful out there. Now, here's what's happening, okay? Lonely women and lonely men meet the person of their dreams online. And within a week or two of talking with that person and maybe even video chatting and stuff like that, all of a sudden, an emergency comes up. Their dog has died. Their car's broken. Their mother has gone into the hospital. The variety of stories that are out there are incredible. And they ask you to please, please, please send the money. Send me Western Union. Send me money. Send me cash. Help me, help me. And it's gotten to the point where Western Union, if you try to do international Western Union transfer, Western Union will actually ask you, do you know this person? Is this an online romance? They'll actually ask you because there's so many people who fell for it, okay? So they look for different ways for you to send money to them, okay? So be careful out there. Listen to me. Do not ever send money to someone that you have never met in person. And then if you have met someone in person, and it was a short romance, and you go home and they ask for money, be careful still, okay? People age 40 to 69 reported losing money to romance scams at the highest rates, but those 70 and older were hardest hit, suffering a median loss of $10,000. Scam victims from age of 20 to 29 reported a median loss of $1,000 because they probably don't have as much expendable cash. But again, victims often admit sending money repeatedly for crises. And there's all kinds of issues. My dog died. I got hit by a car. You know, pictures of people with IVs, you know, stuck in their arms. I'm in the hospital. I can't leave the hospital. Do you send me money in Western Union? Well, if you do Western Union money, they have to go to Western Union themselves to pick it up. All right? So be careful out there if you're sending money, all right? And just be careful. Don't fall. Don't be a sucker. All right, we're going to wrap the show up here. I hope everyone a happy Valentine's. I hope you got some candy or some flowers or went to dinner with your honey. And if you don't have a Valentine's this holiday, I hope you have much success in finding love this season if you're looking for love. Some people say it's the month of finding love, February. and into March. I don't know about that. But anyway, happy Valentine's to everyone. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com is the place to email me. I'll be back with you on Thursday after I get back from being down under. I'm sure I'll come back and be like talking like an Australian. I can almost feel myself trying to kick into it already. What is that anyway? Why do we have this tendency to want to speak like and use the accent of Australian? It's so bad. I'm going to do my best not to do that. I'm going to try to speak like an American and be while I'm down under. But it's so, how should we say it? It's so seductive. That's the word. That's the word I'm looking for. To speak like an Aussie. And again, I'll be in Sydney for any of you that may be a listener down there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of the family here. And we'll bounce you off with one little outro, of course, and just having fun with this. Back to the regular show programming a week from today, and probably a zombie eyes geek care. Everyone take care. Everyone, we'll see you soon. Bye-bye.